Okay. What I'm trying to present this morning is to show you that that halacha, the process of passing the shaila, is not sterile. Somebody just trying to a bucky and all of shas and poskim and just objectively passes every single shaila. No. Every posek is not a computer. They're a human being. They come, they have a personality, they have a hashgafa, and they bring that to the table when they paskin a shaila. And Rabbi Angel being here, I cannot resist but saying that where we have in Tanakh, similar thing with Ein Shnei Nevi'im Mitnabim B'Signon Echad, is even though it's Nevuah, nevertheless, the style of Yishayahu is not the same as Yirmiyahu. We all know that. Even though they're Dvar Hashem, they hear it. If you want to put it, the Nevi'im frame present thing other than Moshe Rabbeinu, bas baklaria sheinan mirira, or through an opaque lens.
Right? A lot of plugs here.
Okay. So no, but it's the same. But it's saying it's not surprising. It's ke'en dorai tikun. The posek is operating on a very similar level. So these two Nevi'im, Rav Moshe, so to speak, the two poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Allenberg, attack the issue of Aliyah very differently. It's not surprising. So what did you notice? Tell me what you thought about what was the difference in between Rav Moshe's approach and the Tzitzel Eliezer's approach? Well, first of all, on a basic level, what do they say? What did Rav Moshe say? Wait, better yet, let's take a step back. What is the chomer that they had to deal with? The basic chomer is, let's boil it down very simplistically. You have three shitos. You have in the Rishonim, three main shitos. The Ramban is one primary shita that's a mitzvah asay to go. Counts as one of the mitzvahs asay. The Rambam, the mysterious Rambam, does not count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in one of the Tariyag Mitzvahs. And then you have Tosfos quotes from the famous Reb Chaim Kohn that Bisman Azeh, writing in the 13th century, no mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael because of Satan's Durachim and because of the inability to properly and adequately observe the mitzvahs of Tzliyas Vayetz. So that's what the posts say, more or less. That's the Chomer, B'yah HaYotzer. That he's working with. What does Rav Moshe do with that? With those options? He says what? He says, look, come on, you tell me. What did you say? Yes.
Yeah, the Ramban says there's a theme.
Yeah, the Ramban. And what did he say about the Ramban? And what are most supposed to him side with? Most supposed to him side with the.
Seems like the Ramban is.
Right. That's the mainstream approach. Okay.
And also the Mormon. It says there's a theme.
Okay.
And he goes on to say, though, like, yeah, the Inayim wrote that people still live in the floods. And more than that, you know,
does Rav Moshe actually say that?
He's a Rambam, but he's giving his list of.
I think it's between the lines of the Rav Moshe. He doesn't actually explicitly say it. He's saying, what does he actually say? What does he point out? What's not written in the Rishonim? It's never presented in Isser to live in. Chutzlaris, Mamela. If there's no Isser to live in Chutzlaris, then it must not be a Chiyuv to make Aliyah. Because if there was a Chiyuv to make Aliyah, it would be us to live in Chutzlaris. It's not us to live in Chutzlaris, no Chiyuv to make Aliyah. Just if you go there, it's positive. Okay? Okay. Mitzvah Kiyumis. But then what does Rav Moshe say? Well, since it's only a Mitzvah Kiyumis, and there are downsides to going to Eretz Yisrael, what do they say you have to consider? You have to consider the sheet of Rabbeinu Chaim. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, so what comes out here? You want to stay here in America? Fine. No answer. And not only that, it may be a good thing to stay in America. That's what he says. What is Rav Moshe? What screams out from this tshuva that's missing? What is it?
He's American.
Right. Oh, so he's writing in the Lower East Side. When is he writing this? You all heard this. You caught it.
August 13th, 1952.
Okay, it's 1952. 4 years after the unbelievable incidents of Qum HaMdina, right after the Holocaust. Right. I mean, we talk about that all the time. We've been raised this way. You know, well, we've been raised in religious Zionist schools and communities, and this way we raise our Talmidim. What's that?
Rav Moshe is context independent. There's no contextuality at all.
No contextual. This shuva could have been written in 1642. But the amazing event, right after a Holocaust, and right after Hukum HaMdina, which makes us, whoa, unbelievable. What were people thinking in 1952? I don't know, for Moshe, it's like a non-event. No mention of all Medinat Yisrael. Now, is there an anti-Zionist bent at all to it? Any Satna Rebbe sound at all like that? No. And then anywhere else in Igros Moshe, by the way, do you find any anti-Zionism within Rav Moshe? No, it's almost... it's an almost an adishut, something that was used by Rav Avital last night. That drives Rav Avital absolutely crazy. Just adishut, apathy towards Kum Hamdina, that makes him crazy. But I'm not criticizing Rav Moshe. This is where Rav Moshe is coming from. The establishment of Medinat Yisrael does not make him excited. Okay, let's contrast that with the Tzitz Eliezer. Where is Tzitz Eliezer coming from? He's right at the beginning, right in the koteret, in the heading of the tshuva, what is he saying? First of all, he starts out by saying what? It's a chiyuv of aliyah. And then, v'nachalut im kum ha'medina, with the rise of the state. Now, this tshuva, there's no date, but if you read the underlying parts, he speaks about that achshav she'amdina kimat she'atza mechituleha. It just got out of its diapers. It sounds also it's written about the time of the Rav Moshe wrote his tshuva. 49, 50, 51. So we find that the Tzitz Eliezer is writing at the same time, but what is he saying? What is the Tzitz Eliezer's framework? He's saying that we have to make this, the chiyuv of aliyah in general. There's a chiyuv to make aliyah. And what does he say once the state was established in 1948? The chiyuv becomes more intense. Why? For two reasons. What are the two reasons? First of all, because it's easier. And number two, now, what's that? It's easier. You're able, you don't have to worry about starving like Jews who made Aliyah in 1882 when the Turks controlled the country. You don't have to be concerned about that. Not America, but nevertheless, you won't get to the point of Kherpat Ra'av. And he speaks about Arvut HaKlali. We're in a situation where a desperate situation. Israel surrounded by sworn enemies. It's the holy obligation of every Jew, he writes, to come and help out Am Yisrael. What does Rav Moshe say about that? About this chiyuv lumi, this nationalistic obligation. What's that? Silent. Why? Why is Rav Moshe silent about it? Because? I'm sorry?
I mean, maybe he doesn't value that.
The lumi, that which we are, have been, well, I'm assuming you've been brought up with, I know I've been brought up with this, and I bring that, and I try to impart this to my Talmidim. To Rav Moshe, it's just not on the radar. It's not there. He's not anti this. It's not like the Sama Red, it's not a rule about Tamura, but it's just not there. So what I'm trying to bring in, and your old brother get to in a second, is that you see that the tshuva that's being written depends on the two Nevi'im are mitnab'im v'signon acher. Okay. All
right.
Yes.
Is the fact that Moshe is not bringing in these core values or greater issues that Tzitz Eliezer brings in with a new value? Then, because he felt that there's a Rambam that he read a certain that he feels is covering all the Rambam regardless of his values, and therefore he's not going to fudge a text.
Okay, but the Tzitz Eliezer's tshuva, and I recommend on your own going home and reading it. It's a relatively rare truth in Tzitz Eliezer. It's hashkafa. He speaks about how important Am Yisrael is. It'll make you cry, that tshuva. And every Jew that come home is like coming home. L'chik ihay mashalo. It's a poetic.
But how much of that has gone away?
Okay. That's...
In other words, will he go so far as to say that Jews living in New York are all sinners?
That's a good question. I'm going to address that a little bit short. But he's saying from such a basic let's go beyond quibbling about Tosfos, the
That's the meat and bones of halacha. The Rosh should be saying that the meat and bones of halacha are not these greater values, but what the text said, regardless of what I necessarily think, and the way of filtering what values of mine are correct and not correct is through the text.
So the question is, where do you start? Do you say you first look in the now let's get into a very
that's different than
where
than
do
what
you say the question is, how do you pass an halacha? Do you first look at the Sifrei HaPoskim and that's it? Or and if you solve the problem there, that's it, it's over. Or do you say we look at the and our values and Tanakh values, and if it's solved there, it's over. It's over. The Shiloh has been decided there. Why do you have to look further? The Sifrei has just writes down Rav Chaim Cohen. It's just it's irrelevant. It's not right. It's not relevant anymore. And he cites the Poskim that's in the Ma'arit. You may be aware of. He says that the Rabbi Rav Chaim Cohen is a forgery. It's not Talmud.
I mean, if I wanted to be mabit the machloket between them, I would say, look, if you ask for promotion, should I wear tzitzis? So he would also tell you, of course you should wear tzitzis, even though it's a mitzvah kiyumi. And people who don't wear tzitzis are, you know, missing out. And, you know, he could write a long shuk about why people should wear tzitzis. He chooses not to do it here. I don't know why.
But there's no sikun to wear, there's no downside to wearing tzitzis. There's a downside to make an aliyah, if you believe that Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen's concern is still relevant. Okay, I'm just going to go by the order that I saw your hands up. Yes, Rebbe, yeah.
So I just wanted to echo what Rafi said and ask you again about Rav Moshe. Is it because of any ambivalence towards Hakamat HaMedina, now, or is it really just he could have written it as something more except before in the 1600s and it would have been the same to Shiva? In which case, it's not a matter of values, it's that he doesn't feel like bringing any values to the table here at all.
Is that a methodological?
It's different. It's not just a matter of is it text first or values first. It's a matter of it's not relevant to the way that it's thinking about it. Clearly, it's only as RC said just from the
okay, but the Medina is a historical fact that could have impact to say, look, Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen's concern is no longer relevant. You could say that you have to help out the nation Lo Samod Al Dam Reyach to help out with, this is a national effort, or the way Rav Yoel Ben-Nun once put it, we're in a process of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, you have to join. It's a values issue. This is not on Rav Moshe's that's not his value. If you want to contrast that, let's say Rav Moshe Feinstein, he also sometimes will go with if he has a values, he'll work with that. For example, the tshuva that's recently been made famous, where he writes that it's not a good idea for adolescents to establish the romantic bonds in high school. And he tries to come up with halakhic reasons and declare that it's usur and usur, usur. And you all know when you read the tshuva, it's very hard to find something technical that it's wrong. But look, he's trying to say as a policy that it's usur. So certainly he's coming in there with values. And he's passing the shaila, and then many tshuvas like that make this motion.
But I think your point is exactly right. In other words, since there's no sources, and it's against his guts, and maybe there you need values as opposed to here, where look, no one's ever ossered it, so I'm not going to come along and osser it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, he's working with the precedent. Why are all these previous generations they never made aliyah? It's not a Torah value, it's a Zionistic value. It's
the Motzi Laz.
It's neutral. Oh, the Motzi Laz, maybe.
I mean,
okay.
It's very serious if you think that they had all these, over the centuries, they had many options
right. To
go, and not those. There were those who made the option, those who acted on it, you would allege, you would think, etc.
Right.
And but there were hundreds who didn't. If the Ramah never went, then
right.
How can I say that it's
right? Amazing. Right. Oh, the Avnei Nezer. And his retraction, at the end of the Tshuva. Okay. But see, also notice, let's talk about the Avnei Nezer in a second. Right now. And then we're going to get to Rabbi Gatti. What's the length that Moshe writes about the Shiloh? He presents 15 lines. It's an issue that doesn't seem to excite him that much, as opposed to the Avnei Nezer. You saw the Chu in the Avnei Nezer about Eretz Yisrael? Right at the end of Chelek Yerdei? He goes on pages and pages. This is something that he was excited about. And there was a retraction that he printed at the end of the Tshuva. But nevertheless, but just for most, it just does not. Eretz Yisrael does not seem to be a major issue on the radar. Rabbi Gatti. Yeah.
No, I was going to say something like Yoel at the time. Just, is it a methodological consideration that Rav Moshe has not to introduce values, which you now showed us other examples of Ramosha where that's not the case.
Right.
Or do we just conclude that this was not a value for
this
him?
This was not a value for him.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yes.
To me, what's interesting, though, is that the Avis Moshe, he's responding to a Shoah. There's a person asking him a question, supposedly, do I have to go on Aliyah now? Or can I depend on Rav Chaim Kalman? Or can I do something else?
Right.
It's very different than Tzitz Eliezer, who's saying,
right.
So nobody's asking him a question.
It's a call card from Tzitz Eliezer saying, you're tired, I'm tired, yes, man, yalla, bo.
But on the other hand, let's say somebody who's living in New York would have written with Tzitz Eliezer saying, do I have to go on Aliyah? I don't know that he wouldn't have answered him like the English motion.
Okay, let me try to sort of attack that right now. Rabbi Seifert, do you have something? Or?
Well, what we were talking about before, about Rav Moshe being in a Lower East Side, and Tzitz Eliezer, who was born in Yerushalayim.
Right.
And
it's also
there's a major issue about Aliyah versus and his perspective of where he is. Does he know the difficulties?
Okay. That's an interesting thing. Right. He's been brought up, he's Yerushalmi for many generations. Right. Okay. Interesting question. Now, let's now just get a little bit practical. So now, if someone is contemplating, a couple of times, a family's contemplating Aliyah, and they want to ask a child, it would seem that that family is a religious Zionist family. The Rav they should go to should be a Rav that shares their hashkafah, shares their values. Because the answer is going to be very, very different when it's going to come to a Rav to whom Medinat Yisrael means something, to whom the nationalism means something, as opposed to a Rav to whom these things do not mean something. And what I have, I'm going to close out this topic by noting that even, let's say, if one values Medinat Yisrael and values nationalism, the question is, how much do you value the nationalism? How much of a Dagesh Hazak do you put on the Medinah? And this comes to another different shuva that Rav Allenberg has, a machlokas with Rav Nissim. He was a Sephardic chief rabbi during the 1950s. And he was Rav Uziel's successor, right?
I think
Rav
Uziel,
okay, 50s, 60s. Rav Nissim published a Sefer of Tshuvot, and Tzitz Eliezer wrote a response. I enjoyed your Sefer. There was one tshuva I didn't like so much. Rav Nissim was asked by, it seems it was Bnei Akiva, asked, how should they be educating towards Aliyah? Rav Nissim, Bnei Akiva wanted to know, should we be educating our chanichim, telling them that you have to make Aliyah even against parents' will? And Rav Nissim said, that's where Shem Mechanech. It's a huge mitzvah. It's Shulach Neikom. It's sort of the Sifri says. And then you should make Aliyah despite what your parents have to say. You don't listen to parents to say Mechal Shabbos. You don't listen to parents to say stay in Boston or Tina. Rav Waldenberg writes, Nasa Pasha. Mitzvah's Kibbutz Avim is very serious mitzvah. So now, here's something that clearly Rav Waldenberg values in Medina and values Aliyah, but nevertheless, he balances it out. Does he have that? Does he see it as overarching? That's dope. Everything else. What if it's in conflict with Kibbutz Avim?
Can he address that in the tshuva that we looked at as well?
That's correct. So it contradicts itself. That's correct. But then, it's an inconsistency.
Maybe that's the difference, though. What we were saying, maybe it's a kol kore versus.
It's a kol kore. This is in general. That's a general rule. Yeah. That's a general rule.
Right, but in the kol kore, he specifically says there's no makom.
But don't really do it.
Right. It says ein makom lishmama.
Right. No more. Well, that may be for an adult. Let me clarify. Let me clarify.
I hear. The aim obeys it.
But with the other tshuva, the Tzitz Eliezer saying, I'm talking about adolescents, something, okay, that it's not a good idea to tell adolescents, maybe. Don't tell,
totally,
you're going to make it okay.
That might be a chinuch issue, okay. Not even an alts the halacha of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, okay.
Like what about the midos question?
okay, right, because the lead
in other words, right, that, disobeying parents even though technically it might be mutter in this case of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, als the chinuch, it's a countervening value.
Okay.
That's the only way. Otherwise, he's soser himself.
Okay, but again, there's balance. There's best. He doesn't automatically just Eretz Yisrael, it outweighs everything else. Yes.
Can you please, from your perspective, share with us how you see the Dorim of the She'ela, meaning in this last days of Rav Nisi? Is it Beirurei Halacha when you have to follow Kibud Av V'Em or not? Is it a She'elas Eitzas Kacha, what's the best way for education? Or is this Mamash Halkorah, as we were speaking in the capacity yesterday?
Good question. It seems to be Eitzas. What is... it's also a public course, a public policy. What should Bnei Akiva be teaching to the tens of thousands of adolescents that are in their sniffing? What should be presented?
The She'elas Eitzas Chacham carry with it the implicit neder of Shavit Nafshei
Ketivah Yisurah? Apparently not, because as you're saying through that, you're leaving yourself an app. I'm not a big proponent of that. But
no, I'm just trying to, in the conference.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right. Okay,
that's a good question. But I would quote, we talked about it with Barry Reese's talk, to put it in the area of this area of public policy. Good, nice stuff here. Now, I hope that you all have been following in the last two traditions of the intriguing this debate between Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Avram Shapira about one of the most important shahs that we have today. And that is the question of Seru Udah, of what we just had. This was the last week in Hebron, about refusing orders. This stuff, it's very important question. I know I've had it. I know we have some who graduates serving Sahal, and they ask, who should we follow? We follow Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Shapira. I'm not coming here to discuss that issue, but I think what, I'm sorry?
Rav Shapira's grandson
is writing on behalf of the Zayd in-law. But what's animating this machlokas is how high of a priority do you take the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Yisur of Lot Techaneh? Rav Shapira puts the Dagesh Chazak on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it's Docha Pikoach Nefesh L'Minchas Chinuch, whereas Rav Lichtenstein, certainly someone who's dedicated to Medinat Israel and Lu'umiyut, and this, he served in the army, his son served in the army, but nevertheless, he's more of a balanced approach. And again, these are values that they're bringing to the table.
A complicated issue, though, because Lichtenstein could easily turn around and say that ultimately the value of Yishuv Eretz Israel means that there has to be an army and people have to follow orders.
Okay.
There's the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael of this minute, and there's the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael of 100 years.
There's also the question, there's also the value, and this leads a good segue into the next topic, and that is, how much do you value that Chiloni relationships? Do you say, look, we've got to get along. We're a minority. We're 20%, 25% of the people in Eretz Yisrael. Most of them are not that deep, and we've got to get along. We have, or we're concerned, God forbid, for a civil war. That's also a value. Do you bring that to the table? Okay, now let's move on to the next sugya. Okay,
probably just leaving for this one. It's a
big, hot based encounter. Okay, let me just introduce the sugya to you, and if you want to take a look more into this. I did photocopy for you after the Tzitzel Yezer, the current issue of Tradition. Rabbi Gleick has an article about this topic. I do caution you to tell you that anytime you'll see an article for Rabbi Gleick, it's worth reading, but realize, read the sugya yourself. Rabbi Gleick's way of presenting the sugya is not always the only way to understand the sugya and the posts in the way that they are, the way they're presented. If you would like, I have an article, you can send me an email, I have an article that I've written to present a little bit of a different approach, my reaction to response a little bit to what Rabbi Black has written.
Are you publishing
it? It'll be in kaltara.org. Okay. All right, now, God willing, this year. to follow along on the outline will help you, the outline page. If you don't have it, we have plenty of extra. Anybody need? No? Okay. This is B. Let's first start out with the sugya, then we'll take a look at Shom, Shom, Nar, Mepharshim, Achronim, Rav Moshe, and we'll speak about this case that came up in Eretz Yisrael last year. Okay, first of all, you have a sugya, and you've almost been handed out. Question, what happens when you have a child of a Jewish woman from a non-Jew? Two days in Gemara. One day, one school of thought tells us that the Vlad is a mamzer. Is that shocking to say in this case that Vlad should be a mamzer? Why? Because the child is the product of an illicit relationship. On the other hand, there's another school of thought in the Gemara that says the Vlad is kasha. Okay? Now, the Gemara says by the second opinion, says the Vlad is kasha, but if it's a girl, she can't marry a Kohen. Why do we make a Kal v'chomer? If the child of a Kohen and not an Almana is a Chalala and can't marry a Kohen, and an Almana is not a Surah Lakal, this woman who has produced a child with a guy, much more serious sister than a Kohen, God will marry an Almana. Kal v'chomer, that the daughter should be, no, a Chalala should be disqualified.
Kohen.
I'm sorry?
Stam Kohen, that's not Kohen God. Stam Kohen.
An Almana married a Kohen Gadol, right? The child is a Chalala, and the Almana is not a Surah.
Why is the leeway only from Kohen Gadol to Almana, not Stam Kohen to Grusha?
Okay, that's a good question. That's an interesting question. Good question. I can show you the Rebbe Kiviger has a tshuva that this that goes. There's a lot to talk about this Kal v'chomer.
Okay.
It is not such a simple Chad v'chalak Kal v'chomer. And the post can do talk about that. And that is a very big issue. We're not going to get dealt with that right now. But that is a very important issue. Okay, now. So, two days in Gemara, I'm in Evraf and Yvamos. Vlad, Mamzer, or Kosher. And if you even say it's Kosher, it's a girl, Sasuruka. She's Sasuruka. Now, on Menhem Beis, the Gemara comes to the conclusion. It says, Hilchasa, that the child is Kosher. Nachri Shabbat Bas Yisrael, we say that the Vlad is kosher. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. And that's what we know. And that's the way we practice. Jewish kosher. What's absent from the Gemara? The silence. What's the silence? The Gemara on the Hamad base at the conclusion of the Sugya comes to a Hilchasa. What's not there? No mention of the Kohen, of the daughter to Kohen. Why is it not there? There are two possibilities. What's one possibility? Why is it not there? Because?
It's assumed
from context. It was an unchallenged statement in the sugya. The Gemara presents Hilchasa about the issue that was debated. The question of kahuna was not debated, so there was no reason to present Hilchasa. On the other hand, how can you interpret the silence of the Gemara? That? If they don't mention it, they just mention, what comes out of the sugya is that? The Vlad's kosher, no mention of Asur Kohen, Shri Mutter. This is a huge machlokas Rishon. Let me present to the sides. Rambam says that the girl is Muteres Lekahuna. The Rosh says she is Asur Lekohen. The Rif writes, what's the third possibility? Okay, you get it. Suffolk. The Rif says Suffolk. Okay, Suffolk. Not sure. Okay, I don't know. That's a date. How do you interpret silence? The Rambani had something unbelievable. He re-endorsed the Rif's view that it's Suffolk. And he says that if they're married already, the Kohen married this young lady, then what? Then? Then ain't Mutzi. Ain't Mutzi. Okay? Now.
That's a Havamin?
No, that's his conclusion.
You're saying that there's a Havamin in should hate say.
If a Kohen discovers that his wife is a Suffolk Grusha, because Suffolk Dorais Lechumra. Okay? Now. How do we pass in Halachal Masa? Halachal Masa, we follow the Ramban. We follow the marriage should not take place, but if it happens, lo teitzah. Now, here's a big question. is the, okay, so Lamasa, we follow the Rif, follow the Ramban, they shouldn't get married. Well, what is this Isser? Is this an Isser of what? What are the two possibilities? An Isser d'Oraisa or is it an Isser d'Rabbana? What does it sound like to you? I'll be cautious. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. If last night I said, Rabbi Godly, please, you got to tell me, is it an Isser d'Rabbana?
Otherwise, it'd be Tetzin.
Okay, you right. Okay, right. It sounds like, right, the suffix Grush, I would say. Tetzin. Why not Tetzin? It sounds like an Isser d'Rabbanan. And that we are the Rabbanan, lo hamidu divrayhem b'makom koshu. So difficult already, they're together, so let's not separate. However, that's a position of quite a number of achronim. The Chelkas Yaakov writes, Rabbi Blythe doesn't cite it, one of the major quotes in the 20th century, he says that rov achronim agree that it's the Rabbanan. Some then say it's the Oraisa. The Mishlo Melech, the Shara Melech say that it's Doraisa. How could it be Doraisa if it's Lo Teitzeh? So you know what he says? It's an unbelievable svara. He says, yeah, there's a reason why Ein Motzi. It's because how could the Beis Din compel a get? What would be the problem with compelling the get? It's not so clear. You have to compel the get. Suffek. Maybe they are allowed to be married. According to the Rambam, they're allowed to be married. So what's going to happen if you're going to compel the get? The get would be, puzzles. Therefore, Beis Din has no right to compel a get.
This is the same thing with something crucial.
What's that?
So
you
have to say the same thing with
something crucial. Yeah, well, that's the problem. You know, something crucial though, he says that you can be kovas. So how come that's the problem with the sheep? It's not so simple. Most of them don't work with this. Rav Moshe Feinstein does go along with it. Yes.
Something about talking about stuff that can say this, right?
Okay.
And you were telling about stuff that can love us.
Yes. Right.
You were talking about Kimli.
Okay, so you can say Kimli. You can't make a Kimli when it's a suffix in Suffix and Sins. Okay, good. Ooh. Okay, nice. All right, now. Let's go on.
That makes sense.
Okay. Now. Let's. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, good safety. All right. Now let's go to the key issue over here. Lamasa. When do we say? Where do you draw the line and say lo teitze? What happens if the couple are already civilly married? Now, what do we say about civil marriage? Great matter readers know this. What do we say halacha lamasa about civil marriage? That. Almost all the poskim say, except for Rav Henkin, and the Rav, okay, Boston can't admit that, the marriage is not a valid marriage. So halakhically, a civil marriage is nothing. Okay? So what would you say if what do you think the poskim would say if they're faced with this shaila? You have a couple that are the Kohen is civilly married to a woman who is the daughter of a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother. What do you say? No? What do you think? Offhand, what does it depend on? It's the shaila should depend on whether you hold this Nisa Doraisa or is this a Drabanan. What's that? Right, it's no marriage. So if you work with, if you say the whole din of Ein Motzi, that Ein Motzi is that we can't compel a get.
Right, so in this case, there's no question. You can't. There's no.
Right, so
no,
if the question is should the Rav, let's say this couple say, no, we're coming clean now, they come to the Rav, we want to be Masada Kedusha. If you're working with the Mishnah Melech and the Shara Melech, that's what Moshe says, don't be Masada Kedusha. In fact, he feels as if, now, then he asks, why don't you say Shasa Chakib if you have a dummy? He says, no, it's as a policy, it's not good to do. Why? Because if you, according to the Rambam, the Isser is lo yikachu on the marriage, so it makes matters worse. According to the Rambam, he said, just leave them alone, and that's it. That was Rav Moshe Feinstein's approach. Now, on the other hand, you have Rav Mashash. Does anybody know who Shalom Mashash was? Okay, I'm going to tell you that, so you can overlook him. And he's given a little bit short shrift in this article. Rav Mashash was the Sephardic chief rabbi of Yerushalayim from 1972 to 2005. Right, you help me here, Rabbi Angel. Sephardic rabbi. Moroccan Jews, he's the Rav Avadia Yosef for Moroccans. He is, and Rav Avadia is really held from it. And a lot of Rav Avadia Yosef's most serious mamzerishas, like Rabbi Reis spoke about last night, Rav Avadia Yosef says, I consult with Rav Mashash agrees with me, he's matri. Rav Mashash does the same thing, I consult with Rav Avadia Yosef, he's matri. You know, they rely on each other a lot. And if you've ever read Rav Mashash's Chuz, a beautiful Chuz, a great, very fluid thinker, brilliant. It's, and he writes well. It's a real joy. Real good, clear thinker. And he writes in the case in Nehru. He's working in the Rabbanut. He's the Sephardic chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, and he's Moroccan Sephardic. What do we know about the Sephardic rabbi? They are very interested in being inclusive and keeping everybody within the fold, right? You don't find very few conservative reform Sephardic congregations. Why? What's the value of the Sephardic rabbi? That we're trying to keep, well, as much as we can, we're trying to keep everybody in the fold. Rav Mashash was asked, what if they're civil divorce? What does he say? He holds like the Rova Poskim, that's an Issa Drabanan. And what's the whole reason why Ein Motzin when it's an Issa Drabanan? If it's so, when it's b'makom tzar lo goz rabbanan, when it's so difficult for the to separate a couple, then ein motzin. If it isn't an issue whether they're halakhically married or not, it depends on the difficulty for the couple. And then Rav Mashash takes it a step further. And if you're going to say this applies by civil marriage, what else does it apply by? It applies by any time what? Any time that the couple is already living together. Now, what emerges from that? Lamar said, what kind of people are living together already and coming to the Rabbanut for marriage? Okay, chilonim. This for chilonim. This is Rav Mashash. Is based in my opinion, what he's doing is he's basically saying that look, for chiloniim, we're going to be maker for them, and he found a halakhic way to do it. And this way, what he's doing, in my opinion, what he's doing, his value that he's bringing to the table is that he's trying to. To find a way how the Rabbanut, how we can service more of our Achenu Bnei Yisrael that we misadeh kedushin. Rav Moshe is not bringing that. Why should we even misadeh kedushin for them? It's not on his agenda. Leave them alone. They're better off without our intervention. Rav Mashash wants them to come in. Let's be misadeh kedushin for them. Rav Amar and his tshuva. Rav Amar, the current Sephardi Rav Rashi, Rishon Lezion, and he also endorses Rav Mashash's opinion. But he has something else. He says, unfortunately, today, he believes, and this is a far-reaching issue, and I'm not saying this is halakha l'maaseh, but he says that you have to be concerned about the kohanim amongst chiloniim as being a safek kohen. I came in the wrong time, or I always didn't like this. That they're concerned by people who live in chiloni lifestyles, that the mother was a nevelas la'akva. It's amazing, and it reflects in general the problem dealing with the isurei kahuna for chiloni. Very, very difficult. I was surprised that he said that in Eretz Yisrael. In America, it's not a shock to say that. But I was very surprised. Okay, this is so he writes. All right, now let's take a look at the case. What happened?
Can I just interject one thing?
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm under the impression from different readings I've done of Rav Mashash is that there's a Mesoras Hapsak from Morocco or Bonin.
Yeah.
And their value is they see themselves as the Rav and the Beis Din of everyone in their jurisdiction, which was the whole Jewish community, Chiloni, Dati, everybody. And so they have these, what we would consider wild kulas sometimes, but they see as a lachatchila of being machmer of keeping the community together and cohesive and taking care of everybody in a way. It's a very different model of SOC that most of us are familiar with.
Of Angel, that's the Spartak, general Spartak Ravenant. Does that, you know, that seems...
You know,
you're a Spartak rabbi, wasn't it? Okay. All right, now, let's see the case. Okay, you had a couple comes to the, now you know the phone number. Now let's see the case happened in 2006. Woman shows up a couple comes, show up in the basement of Rehovot. They've been living together, no civil marriage, for a year and a half. The woman's mother's Jewish, father's not Jewish, the guy's a couple. They come for a Rishayon Nisuin, marriage license. What does the Rehovot Beit Din say? No, goodbye. Sorry, can't get there. What happened? What do they do in Eretz Yisrael? In Eretz Yisrael, you have a very interesting institution called the Beit Din HaGadol Erurin. You have an appeals Beit Din. I have an article on that on kultorah.org. Not just the one that's printed up here, just the appeals Beit Din in general. Not just it's within that article I talk about the appeals Beit Din. So the appeals Beit Din said that they overturned the ruling of the Rehovot Beit Din. And they said you should follow the rulings of Rav Mashash and Rav Amar. Now, the funny thing was sitting on the Beit Din Erurin, one of the members was Rav Amar. Mm-hmm. So, it wasn't Rav Mashash, he died in 2003. But Rav Amar is on that Beit Din Erurin saying, well, why don't you follow me? And he overruled the Pesach. Now, comes Rabbi Bleich screaming, what in the world is going on? How in the world can you have the Beit Din Erurin come and just be vacating the Pesach? Why in the world can't the Rehovot Beit Din have a right to paskin like Rav Moshe Feinstein? Why not? Where in the world does it say, okay, yeah, if there's a machlokes, Rav Moshe on one hand, Rav Amar, Rav Mashash on the other hand, okay, isn't the local base has a right to paskin like Rav Moshe and not like, right? Well, where in the world, he felt that it was an abuse of appellate review, and the Goy systems, it would be, you would never have an appeal on such a on such grounds. In the traditional halakhic model, you don't have it. What's my, yes?
It's really crazy. Is it totally unreasonable to assume that Rav Moshe being, he was, but is it totally reasonable to assume that Rav Moshe was carrying more weight than Israel? Rav Moshe being,
No. It's being the Mar Dasa. No, he's not. He can't.
They didn't have to rely on Rav Moshe. Just their reading of the sugya could have led them to that solution.
Yeah. It's a far jump to extend the Ein Motzi into a civil marriage and then to a couple that are just living together. It's a
Yiddish. So are you suggesting, Harry, that there's a public policy issue that the Beis Din Erurin
okay.
had a concern of...
Yeah, I'm going to say that's what I'm going to say in 1 minute. So first of all, I just want to, where do they get the right to do this? I'm going to say quickly. Ravaj Yosef's model for the Beit Din Erurin, now he sat on the Beit Din Erurin, the model is he felt that it's not within the halachic system, however, since now the Ma'arechet of Batei Din Rabbaniyim in Eretz Yisrael has a system of appeals, anytime a dying that's within this Ma'arechet, within the system, issues a psak, he's giving it al das, that it will take effect only if it is not vacated by the Beit Din HaGadol. So with this, within their jurisdictional right of the Beit Din HaGadol, that's one thing. Second, what did the Beit Din Rehovot, what did they miss by just applying the tshuva of the Igros Moshe? First of all, Moshe wrote this tshuva. I don't have a date on that one, but it was it's in the first. Actually, I have it here somewhere. It's in the it's. Just quickly tell you when the date is right here. It is 1961. So this issue of the promiscuity did not. You know, before the 60s. Had not reached the level it's reached in 2006. So to say that we have another suffix of suffix Cohen, so there you have a suffix. A suffix if the Cohen is also in a marriage such a woman, and then the other suffix is the guy Cohen. But then the big issue is we said that lechadchila should marry b'dieved ein motzi'in. Can you apply shasatcha to b'dieved dami? And here's where values come in. When do you apply this rule of Shasat Chak Kibidi Evid Dami?
So here's the Shnei Nevi'im Bitnamim B'Signon Signonim Acherim, different Signonim, different styles. The Beit Din Gadol Yerim Si'ei Shasat Chak, that the Rabbanut is in crisis, is it going to be able to still service the Chiloniim? They feel this need to service Chiloniim. We don't feel that here in America to a great extent. I don't know, I have people that come to me where I'm a Masadar get for them. And they say, oh, you know what? One of them says, I'm praying right now, could you be Masadar, can you be Masadar Kedushin for us? Very often. If I feel if I have no connection with them and they're not going to keep Taras Mishpat, they're not going to have a kosher, the food's not going to be, well, why bother? I'm not interested in servicing them. But here it's in America. But if you want to, I'm interested in servicing them for Gittin, you shouldn't have a Mamzeru Skram, you should have Eishes Ish. But for Kiddush, it can make it worse if they have an Orthodox marriage. Here I'm willing to take a step back. In Israel, the Rabbanut sees this as a value. We want to, you know, especially using the Sephardic knowledge, we want to be as inclusive as possible. That's the Shas HaTachak Kibbutz Yevedim. And I think that's where the policy issue, questions, what are you bringing to the table? Yes, and I think I'm running out of my time.
I'm sorry,
yes.
Just the concept of Kiruv. I mean, when I was working in the Upper East Side, the numbers of singles are in their 40s, getting in their 50s. Is that a Shas HaTachak, a person who's in his 40s, he meets someone, he's a Kohen, she's a daughter of a... So it to me, would be very scary to say, no, I'm sorry, you have another few years before you can get married.
So what do you say about that, everybody?
Comes up.
It does. Did you know he was closer to her before when did he find out that they were...
That's a good question. I don't know. My impression is dealing with a Filoni couple. I have no idea.
That.
Oh, in that case.
I'm making it up, but it's...
No, the only reason when I was a rabbi on the Upper West Side for a couple of years, there was this phenomenon that all this commitment for the Kohanim would fall in love with
that.
And nobody else, so...
Right. No, but I'm saying here's a situation of Shas Lachak because, you know, some they just, you know... It's not like they're looking for someone who's only born from half...
It's a jurisdictional issue as well. You know, with respect to certain types of shadows, the American rabbin has more tendencies to view with Moshe as the guide and mentor who's dealing with many of these issues. Even if it may be a different approach that's developed to other post-skin, sometimes the mere fact of dissent among his contemporaries, so it makes it viewed as more of a binding precedent with respect to the American post.
The quasi-Mordas.
And it's very much, you know, you see this all the time, in terms of having battle with Sugo, where there are different, you know, views where, you know, there's a position that, well, for American, what they did with Moshe is more viewed as more of a default position than maybe he might be in Eretz Yisrael.
So a guy can't claim Kimley with a lower value. Those guys are also the lower value.
With respect to this specific issue, you know, which comes up frequently, the general approach about this thing is very much like the Moshe, which is that in this case, Emotzi Miyodo is a different principle than the normal the DM, which we say Shas Hak DM, it means, you know, don't fear because they need to get one concussion. But there are other grounds, as you pointed out, for other, you know, stakers, such as is he really a Kohen, is the possibility of Hallelus, you know, which are going to everybody to be taken to
and the Hallelus is Gabon.
Right, and of course, you know, there's another notion that is, you know, sort of in the background of all of this discussion, which may not be mentioned explicitly in the truths that you're looking at, but is mentioned explicitly in other truths. And that is when you're dealing also with people who are Bali Chu. That there's a tendency that if there are Shitas that are Makel, or, you know, there's a little room, wiggle room with the Ebe, because if the Kanas Hashakim will be, you know, more sensitive in the case of Bali Chu.
But on the other hand, we want to make sure it's not abused. You know, we don't want to think, well, Kohanim think, well, we'll enter the relationship, and the rabbis will find some way to get us.
I I would say it's probably more often than not that we don't come up with a theorem
beforehand. Yeah, it's a rough, very rough. Yeah, okay, I think I'm running out of time. I think I should move. Let's go to the last issue, okay? All right, let's just hand this out, please. Keep going. Okay, let's just hand this out. No, I don't need it for. Okay. How long do I have to do this? I only need 5 minutes. Do it in 5 minutes? Okay. I'll just go through this quickly. I mean, we could spend the whole shiur on this. But the RSA Halakha Committee. The RSA just has reconstituted its Halakha Committee. Have a very interesting structure. They have Rabbanim who are, I'm one of them. Are you on the Halakha Committee? And, okay. The Halakha Committee will deliberate on various issues, write up a psak, and submit it to the Vada Postium. The Vada Postium consists of people, of, you know, the top tier of Postium, such as Rav Schefter of Willig, Rav Gedaya Schwartz, you have some Israeli Postium, like Rav Zalman Chaya Goldberg, and even a little bit in the Haredi community, Rav David Cohen. Very interesting. What's that? Yes. Who's on the Vada Postium of the RCA. And the first thing that the Vada Postium came out with was last summer, something that I don't think has received enough attention, was a psak saying that smoking is awesome. Now let me try to present some of the very basic arguments. It goes through this very quickly, and just to bring this idea of the values that are being brought to the table by the RCA Rabbanim and all the Rabbanim that are quoted in here, including the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rav Herschel Schefter, Rav Chaim David Halevi, the poskim who have come out, Rav Nevensol, saying that smoking is awesome. Now the basic arguments are this. We have a concept in Shas quite a number of times, Bamas in Koranita, that came to Dasha Be'Rabim Shomer Pesai Hashem, that once something becomes a commonly accepted society accepts something as an acceptable risk, mutter, it's no problem. Even though normally you're not allowed to be endanger yourself, many of you are going to fly home on a plane tonight. Why? Many of us are going to drive home tonight. Why is that? Why is that mutter? It's mutter because the Chafetz Yaakov writes in the Kevi Dasha Be'Rabim Shomer Pesai Hashem. Rav Moshe said that the same thing applies to smoking. So he writes in 1964, it's Dasha Be'Rabim Shomer Pesai Hashem. Can't say that it's us. Now the question is, how do you understand Shikim Dasha Be'Rabim? The two classic posts, the Achiezer says, it's only for a minor risk, it's a major risk, that you cannot rely on Dasha Be'Rabim Shomer Pesai Hashem. And Sion has a different model for risk taking. He says, short-term risks are any significant risk. If it's immediate, it would be awesome. But if it's long-term, such as a journey on a ship, or giving birth, right? A woman decides, okay, she consents, she'll try to have a child. How can she do this? She's endangering herself, especially in the pre-modern era. How is it mutter? Good thing that it is mutter, otherwise we wouldn't be here. And so says the Binyan Sion is that if it's a long-term risk, if the risk is less than 50%, less than rho, it's mutter. Now, working with the Binyan Sion, one could have made the argument that smoking was not the us because 50% of the smokers, Rabbi Black argued in an article in 1977 in Tradition, do not suffer effects from smoking. Yes, there are many people who do, but not less than 50%. So this is the basic issue. What is the Halakha Committee? Why did they come out in 2006? What was the big einfall? What's the chiddush they came up with? First of all, the major thrust was to say that Rav Moses Tshuva, say that it's not us, sir, no longer applies. Because you can't say it's Dashu Be'Rabim Shomer Pesai Hashem. Because when Rav Moshe wrote that tshuva in 1964, statistics show that Dov Chaim is asleep. That's true. that 50% of adult males smoke. Okay. Okay, Dasha Beiran. That's Dasha Beiran. But in 2006, 25% of adult males are smoking. Is this Dasha Beiran anymore? The argument seems we try to make is not. It's not Dasha Beiran anymore. And then also we try to say, look, the Binyan Sin's argument doesn't apply. To say that, because we have studies that show that more than 50% of cigarette smokers will have their life significantly decreased by smoking. Now, you didn't necessarily need this statistic to say that it's us, sir. It's in 1986, so we asked Ron Soloveitchik, smoking us, sir. He said, look, he worked the Achiezer. Dasha Beiran, Sharm, doesn't apply if it's a significant issue. Significant issue, it's plain is okay, but not smoking. It's a significant issue. That's what the
significance
of. I'm sorry. Significant risk of dying, and significant risk. Kevin Dasha Beiran does not. The Sharm Sam Hashem doesn't apply. You could make that argument. You could have made that in 1986. The Halakha Committee was basically trying to hit a home run. We're basically trying to say that that there's no heter anymore. You can't try. You can't work. Moshe will be mowed to fit. Kuliyama Lapligi, you try, if you read, you go through this, we're basically trying to say every single excuse to give, nah, it doesn't work. You can't say your onus. You can't say you're being motzi laz al Doros HaRishonim. Everything that that's basically what we're trying to say. But Kuliyama Lapligi. Now, two things. First of all, I have limited time, so I love to be interactive with some mashallah koshekos manoshe. First of all, who are the poskim that have come out saying that it's aser? Notice the poskim that first of all, the RCA hasn't come out from the Aguda. And secondly, is that even the poskim that are cited, Rav Waldenberg, it's not Rav Elyashiv, it's not Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, it's not any of the Hasidic poskim. Why is that? It's so interesting that those poskim who have either a secular education or someone like Rav Waldenberg, who daven every day with doctors in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, if you're within that milieu, you bring a certain value to the table, and you're probably going to be inclined to say that it's awesome. If you don't have that kind of inclination, and to say, look, that if the Surgeon General is saying don't do it, if the Goyim don't allow it, the surrounding society says don't, you can't smoke in bars because it's too dangerous, or just like driving up here, they want to say you can't smoke, they want now to ban smoking in a car with anyone less than 18, how can you say that's Dasha Beiran, Shomer B'Sanhedrin? That's if you are, so to speak, modern Orthodox. You're exposed to society, you're working with you've internalized some of the values of some of the positive values of the surrounding environment. But if you're in more of a cheder atum kind of a mentality, you're not working with those values, you're not gonna come out and say that it's awesome. Especially because, and this is something that a discussion that I had with him through Rabbi Klapper's Son of Baby Drash a couple of weeks ago. One of the guys pointed out something very interesting. Said, let's make a reduction ad absurdum from this article. Studies show that, I don't know if this is true, I didn't confirm this, but one of the people claimed that being a doctor, if you're going to be a doctor, more than 50% of doctors will have their lives shortened as because of the stress of the job. So it's also to be a doctor. Rabbi Klapper is animated by the issue of a coal mine. So she's saving a coal mine. It's awesome because of more than 50%. Okay, I know. We say for a profession. Okay, you can argue back and forth, but the question is, why can you say it's also the mechanism of psaching? I'll leave off with this idea and something I heard this morning, last night from the name of the Rav. Leave you off this idea. Do we say to a certain extent that we have a certain goal? Well, let me start this way. I stayed last night at a cousin of mine, Rabbi Professor Septimus from Harvard. Lachani is my cousin. So I was there last night. He asked, I said, what's this conference? I told him what's going on. He said, oh, I'll tell you a story. One time the Rav said, he was in a relaxed moment, the Rav said, I'll tell you how I passed. You're not going to believe Lashon. Late breaking news. he said that, and it's from an eminent, this is no slouch who's reporting this. He said that the Rav said when he passed the Shaila, he hears the Shaila and he sees the person in front of him and he decides what the answer is. He says what he wants the answer to be. Then he looks back in the Makaros to see if he could justify that answer. Now, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. But at any rate, he comes in already with a little bit of a bias. So one perhaps could say also that the RCA Halakha Committee, we start out saying, I want to say it's us. Ravana Soloveitchik, 1986, when he said there was us, he said, you know, my father died. I believe my father died from lung cancer because of smoking. My father died from lung cancer. It wasn't that I cooked. It's sad. Versus, so I'm coming in guns blazing that I want to say. I want and for us. And can I defend it? Yes. But the thing is, once you come, what's an afkamina if you come in with that attitude? When you come in with that attitude and you look at the sugya and there are two paths that you go on, which path are you going to choose? Because you will be, if you're coming in already biased, towards a certain result, you're going to come and choose the path that, again, you're working with integrity, there's got to be a legitimate path, but you're going to take that path if you have that certain bias. What I'm trying to say is the halakhic system is, as Rabbi Strachler was saying last night, it's a grand door. It's not subjective. It's not something that is whimsical, that the Rabbanim come up to conclusions. It's not that there's a rabbinic will, there's a rabbinic way. But nevertheless, that every Rav brings in his personality and his attitude towards the Pesach and his values. And therefore, it's the buyer beware. Beware when you go to a Rav for a Pesach, you should make sure to go to a Rav with whom you share values. Okay, I think the hour is late, and I have to yield to the next presenter.
Yeah. We should do a quick break. I need to do. Thank you. Let's do a few minute break, and start in 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay. No problem. Well, it's not Dina Mabudadina, and you could say that. I mean, I don't think Rebel Yashin will say, but Rebel said you can't slow the basement. But Dina Mabudadina doesn't.